Welcome, good ladies and sirs, to the Comic Knights podcast. Join us at the round table as we delve into the not-so-dark ages of comics. We shall not be speaking of anything that came out this week. Our crusade is to delve into the past and bring you untold riches. Andrew Shaw. Before I introduce my very special guest for this week, our fantastic first episode, I'd like to mention a special deal going on right now for our good friends at Totally Irreverent Tees, who have an awesome opportunity for listeners to win one of their fantastic t-shirts. All you need to do is go to the Comic Knights Facebook or Twitter page and just like, share, or comment on the winner tee for free picture, and you will go into the running to win a shirt in the style and size of your choice. They have some fantastic designs, some really great comic book shirts, but also cartoons and movies as well. Check them out at totallyirreverent.com.au, on Twitter at Total Irreverent, or look them up on Facebook. That's Totally Irreverent Tees, spelled IRREVERENT. Okay, and so welcome to the first episode of Comic Knights. Now, this podcast will be a look back on some of the amazing runs of comics over the years. Not just sticking with Marvel, DC, we'll do anything we can. But for our first week, we are going to dip into a Marvel book, and I'd like to introduce my guest now. He's known as the Leaf Insect Man on Twitter and other forums. He's also one of the hosts of the BoobTube podcast. I'd like to introduce Dan Pua.
Hey, hey.
How are you tonight, Dan?
Good, yeah.
All right. Now, so before we get into our pick for this week, one thing I do want to do with all my guests as they're coming up is I want to ask them, what is your Holy Grail comic? What is the one comic you were chasing that will be the Holy Grail?
By the way, thank you for inviting me to be your first guest. It's very scary and humbling. Scary. when you ask me what, have a think about what my Holy Grail comic would be, and I've never actually thought about too much about it because it's usually it's if I haven't read it, it's like if I don't know much about it and I haven't read it, then I probably wouldn't feel like have to have it. Mm-hmm. Or I guess there's a couple, maybe more because it's based on like value, because of their, you know, how important it is to like comics in general, not just monetary value. So when I thought about it, being a big Marvel guy, I love all sorts of comics, but I started off with Marvel. I grew up with Marvel, and like if it came down to it, I'm a Marvel guy. And when you asked me, I thought it'd probably be Fantastic Four number one.
Oh, wow.
Because that's kind of, not that I ever would, in a million years, ever get my hands on like a good copy of Fantastic Four number one. Do they exist, do you know? Like, a good copy? Like, so
you probably have to run it past your wife first, that's for sure.
Yeah. I could probably get a... I don't remember ever reading it. I might have read it like a long time ago, like a reprint or something.
Yeah, I think it would be tough. I mean, you could probably get Fantastic Four in the Essentials these days, which would probably be the easiest way to get it.
Isn't there an omnibus?
There probably is.
I think I'm sure there's a way, you know, somehow. But like to get that actual comic that was, you know, printed back then, to get a piece of like history, it would be great. And that's kind of where it all began. There were, you know, Atlas comics and other stuff like Human Torch back then, like Marvel or whatever, but isn't Fantastic Four number one, that's when like after Marvel as we know now, that's kind of where it started.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's why they still call them the flagship characters of the Marvel universe too.
Yeah, I think I was just reading. Have you read Comic Book Comics?
Yes, I have. Yes.
Do you remember the bit about Fantastic Four? How I think Stan was kind of getting fed up with it, with everything. He wanted to quit. But then he was asked to do, like, I think his wife said, just do the comic that you want to do. And it was just him doing whatever, what he wanted, because he was thinking, I'm gonna quit anyway. So I read this just this past week, and I love how the Thing was supposed to be a villain.
Yeah,
like he was supposed to be, you know, he was supposed to be sabotaging the team. I think Sue Storm was like permanently invisible, and then Johnny Storm could only like flame on for 5 minutes, and Mr. Fantastic, every time he stretched, it hurt. And just reading that, it was like, I'd love to kind of have a piece of history with, you know, kind of try to imagine how it went from that to what eventually became the like Fantastic Four number one. Just,
I reckon,
you know,
probably,
it's weird. Sorry?
I reckon it was probably Jack Kirby.
Yeah, I think it was because, you know, how the Marvel style.
Yeah, that's it.
So, yeah. So I'd love to, even just to touch it. Even not to own it, but like to actually just touch the page or touch, you know, flip through it a bit, just kind of, I don't know, some kind of transference of like history or whatever. I got to touch it. So yeah, I guess it'd be that.
I saw an amazing Fantasy 15 at a convention a little while back.
Oh wow!
And it was in the CGC casing.
Oh okay.
And even with that, it was still sitting exactly behind the vendor of the stall as well. Like it wasn't going anywhere.
Yeah.
It didn't look like it was in very good condition, but still, it's still Amazing Fantasy 15. You can't really go past that.
Yeah. Well, once it's CGC, can you open it?
I don't think you can. I think the iFanboy guys got in trouble a few years back on one of their video shows by smashing open a CGC case. I don't see the point of it. I don't see the point of CGC casing.
Yeah, unless it's like, you know, you can open it and maybe flick through it carefully sometimes.
Yeah, if it was if I had an Amazing Fantasy 15, I might consider it, but other than that, like, I like to read my comics.
Yeah, yeah.
But anyway.
Like, maybe they can, like, reproduce it, like, photocopy it in a good way so that it kind of feels that. But even then, it's like, you know, books are meant to be read.
Exactly. Chuck, you're right. So anyway, speaking of Amazing Fantasy 15, that's sort of a very dodgy segue, but it leads into what we're going to talk about tonight. So we're going to head back to November 1992, which for me would have been my 10th birthday in that month. Just showing how long ago it was. So we're going to talk about a little book known as Spider-Man 2099. The 2099 series of books were probably very up and down run. Some books received very well, and the other ones were universally panned.
Ravage.
Ravage, yes. But Dan and I, when me and Dan first started talking on Twitter a while back, we got talking about Spider-Man 2099 one night, and I mentioned to Dan that I couldn't remember if it was number 3 or number 7 of the run that was my first comic ever, and Dan was lovely enough to send me the first 3 issues, and after reading number 3, I worked out that was my first comic ever, the first one I ever read many, 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 many years ago. Yeah, so Spidey 2099, written by Peter David, who at the moment hopefully is getting better as we speak.
Yeah.
Horrible what happened to him at the time, but from what I've heard, he is getting better.
That's good.
Art by Rick Leonardi, inks by Al Williamson, and colours by Steve Buccoletto. And Spider-Man 2099 concerns the character of Miguel O'Hara,
yep,
who works for a company called Alchemax. He's addicted to a drug. I can't remember what the name of the drug was off the top of my head.
R? Like, not Ravage, but it starts with R?
I can't
remember now, but I thought it was Ravage, but it can't be Ravage.
It's definitely why they named it after the drug.
Oh, maybe.
Rapture, that's it.
Oh, that's it, yeah.
Rapture, okay. Yeah, he's addicted to Rapture, and he works at Alchemax as a genetic engineer, and they're looking at creating almost like the super soldier serum, I guess, genetic modification for an army, and he thinks that this will help him kick his addiction. So just a quick little bio on him, and this leads him to, he sits in the chair to get the genetic modification, and this turns him into Spider-Man 2099.
Yeah. Isn't it an assistant or someone who worked at the lab was like, he's just going to press everything and screw everything up. Hopefully Miguel dies.
Yeah.
But he doesn't.
you got to vet these assistants a bit more.
Yeah.
So one thing I did want to touch on is the differences and similarities to our Spider-Man as opposed to Miguel O'Hara.
Yeah.
Miguel has claws.
Yeah.
Which is a little weird.
That's, I just read it, I didn't remember at the time, but that's how he clings to walls, whereas Spidey can kind of just, you know, use most of his body to, like, clear walls. I mean, Spidey, Peter Pan.
Our Spidey.
Yeah.
Although,
is that true with Spidey? I just read that.
And
use whatever part of his body.
Yeah, like his body is sticky. It's his feet and his... Remembering the movies, he had like tiny little pads on.
Ah, that's right, yeah.
Yeah.
Whereas Miguel is just on his hands.
Yeah.
Feet or something.
And which, having just reread this recently, it actually almost ties into Superior Spider-Man at the moment. Because the new Superior Spider-Man has claws on the end of his fingers as well.
Oh, okay.
He's put them into the suit. He's actually added them into the suit. But it's still a very similar look.
Oh, but it's not like, it's not part of his body.
Right? No. He's actually into the fingers of the suit, which, it's very similar to what Miguel has. He also has organic web shooters.
Yeah.
He doesn't have the know-how as Peter did to make his own little wrist web shooters. They're actually in his arms.
I wonder if that's where the movie guys got the idea from.
I think if I remember from the movie, they wanted it to be a bit more realistic, is that they didn't want a teenager who could build something that giant companies could actually build. Which is, probably makes a bit more sense.
Oh, but I mean, it's a comic movie.
Yeah.
Like other things are happening that's not necessarily real.
Yeah, I like that they can say that, it's just a kid who gets bitten by a radioactive spider and gets proportionate strength and speed and blah, blah, blah. But he could never invent webs. No. Not at all. I think Miguel actually makes a joke in here as well about he's lucky he's not that much of a spider, although the webs would be coming out of his butt.
I don't even remember that.
Which
is that an issue one?
I think it's issue two. Once you really work out what's wrong with him. But, it's set in the future. At the time, it was, 1,000 years in the future?
Yeah, I think it was 1919. Oh, no, it was...
92.
I guess 92, yeah.
Yeah, so, which probably at the time then seemed like such a far-off time.
I love how it starts off as... I think, I can't remember, but I think this was a preview. I think the first few pages were in, like, an anniversary issue of Spidey.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot which one. But I love how it starts off with, like a futuristic city kind of, Blade Runner or whatever, and flying cars, and then the splash page, which is like, here it is, your Spidey, this is the new Spidey.
Yeah, I love that costume, too.
Yeah. Have you, with that introduction, have you read Spider-Man 2099 meets Spider-Man?
Is that the Time Storm? Is that the Time Storm book? Is that what it was called?
I think Time Storm was like a few years ago, but Spider-Man 2099 meets Spider-Man was, I think, maybe 1993, 1994.
Oh, okay. No, I haven't read that one.
But actually, I have it here. I should just look it up. It was just like a one-shot, like maybe 48 pages or so. But basically, I bring it up because it starts off exactly like that same, like the same scene, the same futuristic city with a flying car. And, it's done by the same creative team, Peter David, Rick Leonardi, and Al Williamson.
Yep.
So they do it exactly the same. Like, same group of kids in the car.
Oh, really?
And they even say, I can't believe we're doing this again. And then when you flip the page, the same splash page, but it's regular Spider-Man, like Peter Parker Spider-Man instead of Miguel. Uh-huh. So at the time I was like, whoa. And then it has Miguel in bed with Mary Jane. He thinks he's in the future. And he's like, turn the lights on, or like, you know, voice command, but it's not working.
Yep.
And then, you know, MJ wakes up, she freaks out. He's all like, oh, shock, or whatever. And then
yes.
Yeah. So yeah, they switch places.
Oh, cool. And
it was that introduction, which I always found to be like one of the cooler introductions to a character.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Instead of going through, you know, here is a young boy, blah, 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 it just jumps you straight into the action.
Yeah.
Here is your new Spider-Man.
They flashback, don't they? Like, after that initial action scene, they flashback to how he got his powers and what happened.
Most of the first three, which is the origin story, are told in flashback. I mean, the first one starts with, it shows him jumping through, and then it jumps to Miguel before what happens. The second one has him talking to Lila, which is his video assistant, housekeeper person.
Yeah, it's like a holographic artificial intelligence person that looks like Marilyn Monroe.
Yes. And then the third one is still him talking to Lila, and it jumps around a bit more when he's being chased by the bounty hunter. He's got that really big, long metal stick, and he's got that. It's almost like Deathlok.
Oh, yeah, I can see that. A little bit like with the hat.
But with the cowboy hat, yeah.
Yeah. I feel like I've seen that character in like a couple of sci-fi movies or sci-fi shows. Like, it seems familiar.
Yeah, it's just that his name's Venture. That's his name.
Okay.
It's just it's such a like a well-used look. You know, he's got the big metal eyes and the old. It's like a what's that word? Like in the future, when after the post-apocalyptic look where he's a robot, but he's also got a cowboy hat and a big trench coat and stuff on.
Okay. I've got a name, but if you call it a certain thing.
Yeah. Post-apocalyptic, but there's something else. There's another way of saying it. I'm sure someone will let us know.
Back to, Lila. There's a scene, I'm not sure which issue, but there's a scene where she switches her look. Like, she could look whatever she wants. And one of the looks she switches to is Aunt May.
I think, is it the second issue?
Yeah. And he's like, I'll forget it, kill that, or whatever. maybe, yeah.
Yeah, there it is.
Or, yeah, I can't remember. I think it might be the second. But like, she switches to like a butler. I'm not sure if it's like supposed to be Jarvis or whatever, but I think one of them's a butler, and then one of them's Aunt May.
Yeah, I found it here, and the butler kind of looks like Alfred from Batman. he says something like, she says, oh, you seem distressed, would you like me to change my appearance to improve your mood? And she says, I've got 293 different appearances. And he goes, oh yeah, like what? And then she's like a punk rock chick.
Oh, okay.
Then she turns to Alfred, and then it's Aunt May, and he goes, yeah, kill that one. It's very clever. Reading these recently as well, there's lots of mentions in the letters column, and they keep saying, oh, has Aunt May survived to 2099? And like, they keep teasing that they're going to reveal that Aunt May's still alive. And I'm about 13 issues into the run, and she hasn't shown up anywhere yet.
Okay. Maybe that was it, the thing.
Maybe that's supposed to be it, yeah.
Yeah.
But another thing I've noticed about reading through this one, not really based on Spider-Man and Miguel, but there's the cult of Thor. There's like a church religion.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, they're waiting for Thor to come back.
Yeah, and it's just, you know, all these people, and they're almost like a cult, like certain religions we have these days where everyone thinks they're nut bars. But when you think about it, obviously Thor's going to return sometime. I mean, those gods always do.
Yeah, it kind of makes sense that people would be worshipping him. I mean, he was, like, let's say Thor was around in the 50s or something. I mean, that'd be something that, or even in 1900, like 100 years before, we'd have records of it.
Yeah.
And them in 2099, they'd have video footage of it. So it's not like they're worshipping someone that they don't know if he existed or not. He was there, and he was a god, and he performed god-like feats. Does Miguel become kind of friends with them? Or, like, how does it work?
I'm up to an issue, I think it's up to 12 or 13, where they're teasing that Thor is coming back. So I haven't got that far into it again. I haven't read these in a long, long time. But I'm reading through it again just recently. And they are teasing it. They keep saying, you know, every now and then they bump into a Thor, what do they call, Thorus or Thorites or something. And okay. They mention, oh, Thor's coming back. And he's like, yeah, whatever. And just disregard them. Now, they haven't, reading through the first three issues, they show Venture, Alchemax is set up as the big bad villains.
Yeah.
There's also a company called Stark Fujikara.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Which seem to be another... They seem bad as well. They're right into, in the back of Alchemax's pocket. And but through the first three, there's no appearances of any of your classic or reimaginings of Spidey villains.
Okay.
They show Venture as the new... But, he's just like a bounty hunter who's employed by Alchemax to take out Spidey.
Yeah.
But in issue 7, along the way, they introduce the Vulture 2099.
Oh, okay. Is that the first time that, like, a Spidey kind of old villain they reimagined?
Yeah.
Okay.
You get little glimpses of, like, people mentioning Iron Man, and there's a lot of talk of the Heroic Age.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Which is funny because after, what's his name? The Green Goblin, after he took over after Secret Invasion, and then it was Dark Reign for a while.
Yeah.
And Dark Reign finished when they finally locked him up. That was called the Heroic Age.
Oh, okay, that's right, yeah.
And okay. So I'm wondering if they did that because of these books, that they're linking it to these books, or whether they just thought it was a good name.
Okay. Yeah, I wonder if it's like coincidence, or they were kind of looking back at past things where they told stories of the future and they kind of want to head it that way.
You would think they would, but then the problem is that once we get closer to 2099, yeah. Unless Miguel pops up somewhere, and it's just not really going to work, is it?
I
really enjoy these books. They're fascinating reads. Just to see, it's a very dystopian future. That's the word I was looking for.
Ah, that's
dystopian.
Wow. 10 minutes later.
Where were you 20 minutes ago, word? But as you're saying, yeah, the start of it with the flying cars, like, what a better way to set up a future.
Yeah.
You know, you throw something like that in. But there's also they talk about the lower parts of New York, not New New York, that's Futurama. But to be honest, it's very similar to the Futurama setup of New York, where people mention it. I think it's one of the later issues where he goes to, I can't remember what it's called, downtown, but it's just built on top of Manhattan. They just built up. Instead of
Is that how New York now is? Like, they built up top of things, like old things?
I don't know. But it seems like it's been used a few times in different things.
Yeah.
I mean, Futurama did it. This book did it a few years before Futurama did. And I mean, it makes sense as a future. I mean, in this one, they mentioned something. I think they said that Manhattan was flooded, or New York was flooded.
Oh, okay.
And that's why they just built on top of it instead of starting, starting again.
So with them, back to the villains, well, at least up to whatever issue you've read, who are the villains? I mean, other than the guy that was in charge of Alchemax.
Well, there's Venture in the first three.
Yeah.
Vulture shows up in issue 7.
He's actually he's in the cover of the main villain of not main villain, but a Spider-Man 2099 meets Spider-Man. Regular Peter Parker Spidey has to fight him, and Miguel has to fight Venom.
Ah.
And then they kind of find out there's someone else from the future that's like, this is happening for a reason, and it's because of someone else from even further into the future.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I won't spoil that in case you ever, you know.
Yeah, well, that's really interesting.
Mm.
Yeah, the Vulture shows up in issue 7, and he is very different to the old Vulture that we know, you know, the almost Mr. Burns-looking Vulture.
Yeah.
he's got metal wings, wears a metal helmet, and he's a cannibal.
Oh, okay, I didn't know that.
And they make it very obvious that he's a cannibal.
Oh,
to the point where the first time Miguel actually meets him properly, he's sitting on a throne made of bones.
Ooh.
And talking about eating meat, and it's pretty...
like an actual vulture.
Yeah, and I mean, being a vegan myself, it's, you know... meat sometimes puts me off anyway, but this is just... yeah. It's blood-curdling.
Wow. Is that it? Like, any other villains? Like, any, like, machine-based...
he's got, like, the Specialist shows up. Michael the Specialist in issue 4, who's just another... he's a, he's hired by Stark Fujikara. He's just a samurai, but who has, you know, metallic armor and flies around on a flying motorbike. But there's no real links to any other Spidey villains that we know and love. So
Other 2099 characters, like people from other books, did they show up on in any of the issues that you read?
Not as yet, but they have mentioned them.
Okay.
Little, you know, side little mentions of people, like I think they mentioned the Punisher 2099.
Oh, okay.
And there is a mention of Ravage in there. There was only a quick little mention.
Did you read those back in the day?
No, I only really read Spidey. That was the only one I read.
I think I got, like, first three issues of Spidey. I think I had the first issue of Punisher and Ravage.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe, like, first two or first three. I don't even remember what Ravage was about. Was he, like, just another Punisher?
I think he was. I think he was just a big dude who, from what I can gather, reading Wikipedia and things like that, he's a big guy who just fights for what, and doesn't seem like a whole lot happens. And as I was saying before, that was the one that they really, that most of the critics panned.
Yeah, I haven't heard anyone speak, you know, say good things about it, like at all.
Stan Lee doesn't like bad comics. So, what do you remember much about these ones?
Which ones?
The Spidey ones?
Three?
Or any of the Spidey ones?
I only remember reading the. I only remember having the first three, and also reading the first.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of remember that. I sent them to you.
Yeah.
But I know a bit about. I also have this this one. It's called 2099 AD.
Oh, okay.
And it has a bunch of different I also had X-Men 2099.
Oh, that's right. Yep. Yep.
I think I had the first one and the second one. I think there was also Ghost Rider, Hulk, and... but a bunch of them show up in this... it's just a one-shot. I haven't read it before. I didn't get a chance to read it before we started recording.
Yep.
But it might have been like... it might have been when after the series... I think each of the series eventually got... either canceled or ended, and then they did some events, sort of, or like sort of an event thing with the 2099 universe.
Yeah, that sounds familiar.
One of them, or leading up to it, or something.
Yeah.
But,
yeah, it seems like they all had a big crossover towards the. I think it was towards the end, if I can remember correctly.
Yeah, I think so.
It seemed like they had. I mean, I think you said it to me earlier tonight about there was even a Moon Knight.
Yeah.
Which really, I do like that because it means that they are going to stick you.
I wanted to read. I'm not sure why I didn't. I was like big on Marvel back when I was buying. I didn't get. I heard that it was. Do you know much about Doom 2099?
No, but I think from what I've heard from people, that's one of the better ones too.
Yeah, isn't it Warren Ellis? I'm not sure if the whole thing or just.
Let's have a
But it might have been the whole, like, the whole run. It might have been Warren Ellis.
I've got that it was created by John Francis Moore and art by Pat Broderick.
Oh, okay.
Pat Broderick's cool. That'd be really nice to look at.
Was Warren Ellis ever on it? Or maybe I'm confusing it with something else.
That sounds familiar. I think I have heard that he did work on it, right towards the end of it.
Oh, okay. John Francis Moore for the first 2 years and Warren Ellis for the third.
There we go.
I remember reading a page of, I think it was one of the Warren Ellis ones. It might have been towards the end. I think someone spat in Doom's face and then, like, of course he killed him. and there's a quote at the end of, like, the last page. It just has his face with spit. The quote says, in a rich man's house, there's no place to spit in but his face. I don't even know. Like, I didn't even read the issue. I think I just saw a screenshot or something.
Yeah. Someone's playing, like,
it makes me want to read what happened during that issue. But, yeah, I mean, just the fact that, you know, Warren Ellis worked on it. And I think it's, like, Victor Von Doom.
So yeah.
It's like, how does that happen?
Yeah.
I thought it would have been someone else.
In these early Spider-Man issues, like, you get towards the end of, I think it might be the third one. Find it here. He, Doom's watching him on a big screen.
Oh, okay.
Sort of saying, Spider-Man, okay. Yep. You know, that whole, you know, that old school villain thing where they look at people, and it's not the same, it must be the fourth one. But then, you know, the old, let's have a precursor to who we're going to use as a villain later on.
Yeah.
Yeah, which, you know, it doesn't surprise me for Doom. Doom was always, even if it is Victor Von Doom, he was always that conniving.
Yeah.
He'd keep an eye on everybody. Just having a look at here at the Marvel 2099 Wikipedia page, there was Doom, Ghost Rider, Hulk, Punisher, Ravage, and Spider-Man as your main protagonists. Mm. There was X-Men 2099. There was a Fantastic Four 2099.
Okay.
I don't think it was a book, I think it was just characters, because they're doubles of Johnny Storm, Sue Storm, Reed Richards, and Ben Grimm.
Doubles?
Yeah.
Like clones? Or what do you mean doubles?
Like, as in clones, I think.
Oh, okay.
Which seems a bit strange. I think it was, I can't really work out what was it for. There's a Captain America turns up.
But it's isn't it like original Cap, like Steve Rogers?
It's an imposter posing as Steve Rogers.
Oh, okay. Wow.
A Daredevil 2099. Which I've never seen.
Oh, is that I think that was like sometime after, like, in the, like, year 2000.
That's,
I mean,
right.
When it came out, like, not the original 2099 comics from back in the day.
I think it looks like it's part of the Marvel Knights line.
And that's right, yeah. I think there was even a Black Panther.
This is Samuel Fisk, the grandson of Wilson Fisk.
Oh, okay.
Which, he says, feels remorse over his grandfather's actions and carries on the legacy of Daredevil.
Oh, yeah.
As well as the Kingpin legacy inherited.
Ooh. Oh, okay. Ooh. Oh, so he's, like, rich and fine.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, there's a Thor. There is a Thor that turns up eventually. There's S.H.I.E.L.D. 2099.
Oh.
So there's a lot of... They did really get into it. There's a lot of different characters that do show up. Or, you know... avatars in the future of these characters.
Wasn't there a, I think it was Kirkman, Marvel team-up? Like an arc set in the 2099 universe?
Yes, because it had, yeah, I think I remember that.
But does it, like, does it match up with what the stuff that happened before? Because I think I read it at the time, and I was thinking it kind of didn't. Like, there might have been some sort of, like, rewriting or whatever. But I'm not sure, maybe it does.
I'm just trying to work it out. It doesn't seem to come up in here. Just having a look at some stuff. But just having a read through some other stuff. We did get a 2099 version of Venom.
Oh, okay.
Of the Goblin of Namor.
Oh.
Which is interesting, and that's for our good friend Alan Hill, lover, Namor.
Oh, there's a lot that went on that I don't even, like, even to this day, I'm just finding out now that you're telling me.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like they really did get right down into it. I guess in the 90s, it was, you know, Venom was massive, so they kind of had to, yeah, the future Venom, really. But yeah, like it's, I mean, just from my perspective, like I really enjoy their books, and I like thank you doing that. And it turns out that number 3 was the first ever comic I read, and I did remember, I read through it a couple of weeks ago, and recently, and there's a bit where Miguel is escaping from people, and he runs into his house, and Lila's there, and his sister Lila, you're home early, Miguel, listen, I want you to point right here, repeat after me, there was a horrible man in black, and he went through there. Okay, Lila, good girl. And so she goes, yep, no worries, and he disappears, and then Venture turns up, and Lila goes, there was a horrible man in black, and he went through there. And then he jumps at me, and he goes, yeah, thanks. And then Lila goes, okay, Lila, good girl, and repeats everything you said.
Yeah.
And when I read that, I knew exactly what she was going to say afterwards. I remembered this was my first comic because of that line.
Okay, yeah.
Not because of anything else, but because I think she repeats it later on when Miguel's brother pops up as well.
Oh, okay.
And so I just remembered that line. I went, of course, this must be it. I remember sitting on the lounge room floor reading the book.
Cool.
All those years ago. But look, the Rick Leonardi art is absolutely beautiful.
How do you like the costume?
I love the costume. I think it's a really nice design.
Yeah.
especially the mask.
I like how it's it's a Day of the Dead costume, I think. And that was the only, I think it was his only thing that he had in his house that was made of unstable molecules. Because he didn't want to, rip it up and, when he's using his talons and things.
That's just funny that, people in the future just have unstable molecules.
Yeah.
Yeah, no worries. I'll just, go down and get a new suit made of unstable molecules. That's fine. The mask. I really like the mask design. It almost gives it a look that if you saw it in the... Because it's supposed to be black. It comes across as blue in the comic.
Yeah.
But it's supposed to be black. If you saw it in the dark and all you could see was the red, it would look like a spider's face.
Yeah, yeah.
And with the teeth and several eyes because of the different little bumps there.
What else has Rick Leonardi done? I remember the name, but I can't remember. Is it just another Spidey comics, or do you know?
I'm not sure. Whatever he's done, I wouldn't mind chasing up some more of his work, because this is... It has that 90s feel about it, a lot of big shoulder pads and bigger...
Yeah.
But it doesn't have that image overwrought look.
Yeah, I don't get an image. When I read it, it doesn't scream image to me. It's still Marvel.
Yeah, it doesn't have muscles or muscles where muscles shouldn't
be. Yeah.
Sorry.
And back to, I guess we were discussing powers.
Yep.
A while back. Is it just, it's been a while since I read it. Can Miguel glide?
Yes.
He has the thing on his back. I'm not sure if it's webbing or whatever, but doesn't it, or does it? Does he have, on his armpits or something? Or is that Spider-Woman?
I think it's part of his costume.
Okay.
And it's... I gotta find that bit, because he does glide a fair bit because of how high up New York is. It works well for him.
Yeah.
Swinging through like Spidey would, he glides along.
Oh, and he also doesn't have spider sense, doesn't he?
No, he doesn't.
Does he have something equivalent that helps him?
No, not in the first 3 issues anyway. He doesn't have that. And have you ever played the Is it Spider-Man Shattered Dimensions?
Is that the one with the four...
You had Amazing, 2099, Ultimate, and Noir.
Yeah.
Spidey. And they mentioned in that when Madame Web gives everybody the powers, he mentions, well, I don't have a Spidey sense. And she goes, yeah, now you do. She just gives him one for the game. Just for the game.
Oh, wow.
So Peter David's writing. Peter David is such a fantastic writer. He's very reliable as a writer.
Mm.
I can't think of anything I've read off the top of my head by Peter David that I haven't enjoyed on some level.
No, yeah, me as well. Like, it's always like even the latest his latest X Force. Is he still an X Factor?
They haven't relaunched X Factor yet.
Oh, it just ended and they never. Oh, okay.
Well, there hasn't been one of the Marvel Now books anyway.
Oh, okay. Because even back when I was, I guess, when I was a year or two ago, it wasn't necessarily something that like the cast of characters. It's like, yeah, okay, you guys are fine, but it's not something that I would seek out. But because I read it, and it was, I don't know, I guess he just tells a really good story, and you know someone's good when, like, I don't really care too much about the characters, but I'm reading it anyway, and you're making me care about the characters, because that's how you are as a story. And I think he also did, was it Friendly Neighborhood Spider-Man, or something else?
I think so, but he's also known for his massive run the Hulk.
Oh.
A lot of people say, you know, see as the best run on the Hulk ever.
I don't think I've I might not have read any of his Hulk stuff. Have you?
I have the Hulk Visionaries.
Oh, okay.
I've got the first trade here, and I couldn't get past the art.
Oh, who's it by?
Todd McFarlane. And it was the lovely the way he drew people in the '90s, where they had like, remember the cartoon, the Real Ghostbusters?
Yeah.
Remember how Egon's hair had like that? It would curl and then like stick up in the air?
Oh, I think so, yeah. Well,
this one had, one of the first pages, this guy has that sort of haircut, but it sits out about 4 foot from his head.
I can imagine that.
It was just ridiculous.
Oh, I mentioned that I think it was Friendly Neighborhood Spider-Man, because the one of the, like, the future Spideys, like, even more from the future, that was in that crossover, like, mm-hmm. Spider-Man 2099 meets Spider-Man. He appears, like he has kind of Doc Ock arms.
Oh, okay.
But he's, like, a Spider-Man from, like, even more into the future. I think he shows up in the present. But did you read those back, like a few years back?
No, I've been out of comics for a long time. I only got back into them about 6 years ago.
Oh, okay.
So I'm still, like, even though I've got a lot of books, I'm still doing a lot of catch up and stuff. But those sorts of stories fascinate me. You know? I'm a big fan of the What If. Run of,
yeah, yeah.
Like, I've got, I eventually ended up with the whole run of the first series.
And okay.
The sort of the What If type stories, or the, like, the Spider-Man 2099, or the What If, you know, the stories that are from the future, or where people, you know, or, you know, it's what if Spidey had joined the Fantastic Four, things like that. They yeah. Fascinate me. They're some of my favorite kind of books.
Was there ever,
No, you go.
Was there ever, like, a line, like a comic book line, or at least in Marvel anyway, that's basically I guess other than Ultimate Universe, but other than 2099, was there ever a bigger line that's, like, you know, just a big What If line?
Apart from the What If line, I don't think there was.
I guess,
Oh, there was Neil Gaiman wrote Marvel 1602.
I think that was only, like, maybe that might have been a 12-issue thing, and then they did another, like, a couple of minis, I think.
Yeah, I've never read it, but I've heard mixed things about it.
Okay.
But that one, and then there's the Ultimates, was it Scorching Supreme? Was that one?
Oh, okay, but I guess that was just one. They did, I think that was the main, like, Supreme Power, and then Squadron Supreme, and then there were a couple of minis.
That's right.
I guess Age of Apocalypse sort of counts, but that was sort of like an event.
And Days of Future Past, I guess, as well.
Yeah.
Which is going to be the new movie as well.
Heroes Reborn.
Ah, yes.
Well, or 13-ish issues each, like four titles, 13.
Yep.
But yeah, 2099. I guess it will come in.
Well, the ultimate line is still going.
Yeah, yeah. But, I can't think of anything else.
There was another run of books, Exiles.
Oh,
which was more the X-Men, but Miguel, or a version of Miguel, does show up in that as well.
Oh, okay.
As one of the, I haven't read that far into it. I've got the first three Ultimate Collections, but he pops up as either, I think he pops up as part of the evil team.
Oh.
So it's not Miguel, but it's like a version of Miguel that's evil.
Oh, like an alternate universe Miguel.
Yeah, so not only do you get an alternate universe Spidey, but it's an alternate universe version of that version.
Oh. When, during the whole, before Superior Spider-Man, during the end of, like, Amazing, when, you know, people kind of started talking about what was going to happen, I think someone mentioned, like, oh, maybe Miguel's coming back, or not coming, oh, yeah, it's coming back. And I was kind of hoping that, well, I don't know, I not necessarily, if they have to get rid of Peter, I was hoping, yeah, maybe.
Yeah. I almost had that little, as much as you don't want to see Peter Parker go as Spider-Man, there was just that the little bit inside me going, oh, can it be Miguel, please?
I think he's my favorite, and especially at the time, I wasn't, when I was getting into comics, it was like, okay, Spider-Man, you're great, but, I got into comics, I think, early in 1992, and this came out, like, late in 1992.
Yeah, November was the first issue, yeah.
And I was buying Spidey. I gravitated.
Yeah, I love Peter Parker, and Spider-Man is probably my second favorite Marvel character, I guess, maybe. No, he'd be up there anyway. But Miguel is such a... He's not as innocent as Peter.
Yeah.
He's a bit more, like, I mean, I won't spoil anything, but he does kill a character.
Oh, okay.
The character is evil, but he does kill him.
I remember he gets a bit rough with his, villains or criminals, but, yeah, I don't think that was in the first three issues, right?
No, he's a bit rough with Venture, the bounty hunter.
Yeah, yeah.
More than Peter would ever be, and, you know, Peter would never let anyone die on purpose anyway.
Oh, I think it wasn't that crossover where it's like, because initially they thought it was just, like, the same Spider-Man but with a different costume.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he beats up someone, maybe a criminal or something, and I think someone comments, like, oh, well, you're not, maybe something like, you're not Spider-Man, are you? Or you're, like, you know, you're not usually that rough or whatever.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, but
definitely not Punisher level.
No, there aren't many that are Punisher level, that's for sure. Any other thoughts on the book before we wrap up?
Not much, except I really wish they collected, and I guess I wish we see Miguel in some form.
Yeah.
Again.
I'm surprised he hasn't, or he might pop up in the Ultimate Spidey cartoon, maybe, even a version of him.
Okay.
I just have, I'm probably a bit more wishful thinking than anything. An episode of that would be interesting if they did like a Spider-Man future past, even popped in a Miles Morales in there as well.
Wasn't there, I heard there, Miles, not necessarily, like, his character, but I heard there's kind of a Miles Morales Easter egg in the Ultimate Spider-Man. I haven't seen it, but,
Oh, really?
Somebody told me that there's an Easter egg.
Oh.
But, I'll have to look that up, maybe after our Skype chat.
Yeah.
I guess, they used Miguel in, what, two games now?
Yep.
So, I was hoping maybe that would lead to something. But, who knows?
They had the Shattered Dimensions, and the next one was Edge of Time, where it was just the two of them. It was just our Peter Parker and then Miguel working together across time, which I think it might have been even close to the, like you were saying before, that crossover where they changed places.
Oh, maybe they kind of, maybe they used that as an inspiration or something.
I haven't played that one, but it sounds interesting enough.
Is it, by any chance, like a two-player thing?
No, I don't think it is.
Oh, I'd love it if it was two-player.
You could play as both.
Yeah.
Yeah. None of those games. They never put any two-player modes in the Spider-Man games. I guess it's because, if you're Spidey, you just zoom off, zip line off or out of the screen. You're like, oh, now what do I do? The other person just standing around. And that there was a web of shadows that Spider-Man game that came out. I think that had an unlockable costume.
Oh, okay.
It could be Miguel. That's also one of my favourite Spidey games because it has Moon Knight in it as well. Even if
is
they do.
Playable?
No. You just talk to him and he's nuts. Which I don't like either. He's not that crazy.
Yeah, it doesn't seem that way in like any of the minis that I've like, or at least like regular universe. I think he was really crazy in Ultimate Universe.
Yeah, he was. But that's for another episode. That's something I could talk way too long.
Yeah.
So yeah, I would recommend going out and having a look at Spider-Man 2099, even just picking up the first three issues.
Nice.
Have a look at the origin. I mean, get through the first three, and if you don't like it after that, well, I guess you're not going to like it, really.
Yeah.
But I don't think they'd be very expensive either these days.
Yeah, I can't imagine they are. Oh, they would be.
It's not one of those books that seems that highly sought after. But you never know. Stranger things have happened with books.
I really hope they collect it. I've never read, like, much of 2099, but yeah, I really hope. Like, even if it's, like, each of the books get a collection and whatever.
Yeah, it only went for 46 issues.
Okay.
So it wouldn't be hard to do. I reckon they should just do, like, a three omnibuses and collect most of the stuff. You probably could get away with most of it, couldn't you?
Yeah.
Just do a big collection of all the 2099 stuff.
Yeah.
It's probably, like I said, it's probably not that sought after by collectors, sadly.
Maybe they do like a movie. You know how like now they're doing Days of Future Past, but if someone does like a Spidey, I'd love to see that. I mean, what else are they gonna do? Like the same thing, like
exactly.
Big Goblin again.
Yeah, I'm hoping that Rhino will be the next one.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, they haven't done.
Well, he hasn't gone up against a big villain either, really. They went up against Sandman, but.
Sand.
Yeah, he's sand. All right. So, Dan, where can people find you on the internet?
I guess I'm mainly, like, kind of just on Twitter.
So you cut out a bit there. Leaping Sec Man?
On Twitter. Is it, like, twitter.slash? And I've never had to search for myself. If you're on Twitter, it's like just type Leaf Insect Man or whatever, and yeah, you just hit me up. And also, I guess I do a TV and movie podcast with Bob Gar Slurmo on the Earth 2 Network, the Boob Tube.
The Boob Tube.
So yeah.
Excellent. Well, thanks for coming on, Dan.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Thank you for being my first guest on Comic Nights.
Yeah, that wasn't as scary as I thought it would be.
we've met before. I'm not that scary.
Yeah.
But thank you for coming on, Sir Dan. And hopefully we can have you on again another time. Maybe if we both find some more 2099, we can jump on and talk about that.
Yeah, I'd love to.
Excellent. All right. You can find me online on Twitter as well, at Andrew_Shaw23. We've got at Comic Nights Pod on Twitter as well, Comic Nights with a K, Pod. So send any feedback you can through the Twitter. Don't forget about the Totally Irreverent Tees competition. I'll pop that up on Twitter and also on Facebook on our Comic Nights Facebook page as well. But that's it from me this week. Hope everyone has a fantastic next few weeks until I speak to you again. Thanks for listening.
podcast was brought to you by the Big Top Network.